Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riedel 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Meine Damen und Herren.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the German Football Podcast. And we're in the midst of an English evoca for many teams with the DFB Pokal second round taking place this week. So we'll try and cover some of that along with the league action from the weekend. I'm joined tonight by Roy. How are things?
Yep, can't complain. Doing well. Loving a good English evoca over in Germany at the moment. It's my first one working, so it's quite exciting having all the games coming thick and fast. And it's always good when the team you work for is winning those games. So can't complain with that. Looking forward to the weekend and yeah, should be good.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's always a novelty, these like midweek fixtures. Like in England, I mean, that's why it's called an English evoca, because it happens all the time over in the UK, but in Germany it's actually like a novelty because it only happens about maybe three times a season or something. So it's always appreciate. But I think we'll just jump in straight with the Bundesliga this week. Probably best to start with the main news of the last few days, with Mark Van Bommel getting relieved of his duties at Wolfsburg. And it was yesterday Florian Kohfeldt was appointed as his successor. So firstly, on Van Bommel, do you think it was harsh? I mean, after all, he did win his first four league games.
Yes and no. And I know I said in the first few episodes of this season that I was kind of like, let's not like jump to conclusions with him. He may have had a bad pass, but it doesn't mean he's going to be terrible for the rest of his career. So I was kind of not backing him up, for instance, but like I was kind of thinking, let's just see where he goes. Obviously, they've not wanted to do that now. You can see that it was going to be difficult for him. You can see that from the first four games, it was games they probably should be winning, bar the Leipzig game, for instance. There's just this kind of toxic vibe around football managers at the moment that it's either they're successful or they're in the door and out the door. It's just disappointing to see it all the time. I just don't like it because I just feel like this football doesn't run on, like, shouldn't be run on game by game basis for me. I think that if you've allowed them to kind of prepare for this season, let's see how far he can take it. I mean, what's going to happen to Wolfsburg this season? Were they going to get relegated? Were they going to go to square one? No. Like, they still got a good squad behind them, and that's the, for me, I think, fair enough. Like, everyone saw it coming. I saw it coming when I was trying to say I'd rather not see it. But that's only because I don't like the general, this is what happens to football managers, and I'm not backing him up. I'm not saying he was a good manager. I just don't like that it moves around so much, and it's kind of completely becoming like the English game over here with things like that. So it's just disappointing. It was going to happen. It should have happened. I think the Champions League games where there's a group that they probably should be winning, maybe not winning, but like they should be winning games in. They probably shouldn't get so dismantled by Salzburg. They should have had a good game against Salzburg. I'm not saying Salzburg shouldn't beat them, but they should at least be challenging Salzburg a bit better. Even though Salzburg, give them their credit, they are a proper Champions League side now. They've developed themselves really well. But if Wolfsburg are coming from the Bundesliga and want to be that team, they should be doing better. So there's many things they should have done better in. So you can see why it's happened, but I'm not surprised by it. I'm not saying it's a good thing, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't know if I'm actually helped or answered your question at all.
I get what you're saying. I think a lot of people expected that this might happen, but not so soon. And especially after the start they made in the league, they thought, people were sort of pleasantly surprised at how well they'd done. But I think Van Bommel was sort of up against it right from the start. A lot of people pointed to his lack of coaching experience. I think it was partly due to the fact that he was a pretty unpopular player. Like, I think he was seen as quite a dirty player. So I think I just get the feeling that a lot of folk thought that when he came in, he would be maybe a difficult coach to get on with. And we all know from the reputation that the Wolfsburg CEO, Jörg Schmatke, has, that he always falls out with his coaches. And I think it's a fair chance the same thing's happened. I mean, with Bruno Labbadia, Oliver Glasner, the same thing happened. it's been a running theme with Schmack. Even when he was at Curlin as well, fell out with coaches. He seems to do his job really well, but that is the part of his job that there's maybe a bit of an issue, that he constantly falls out with these coaches and can't keep a coach hanging about for more than a couple of seasons, even if they're doing well, like Oliver Glasner and Labbadia were doing, getting them into Europe. So potentially it's just history repeating itself. But the lack of experience was levelled against them, and it seems sort of apparent in the defensive display in the Champions League. Like, it was absolutely shocking, some of the defending that you saw. It felt like that might have been partly due to a problem with coaching, from a coaching side. After all, like, Augsburg over the last sort of 2 or 3 years have been known for their defensive solidity so much, and they do have good defensive players, so something's going wrong there, and they've decided to go with coach, as it happens so often, as you say. That's the culture. It seems to be the easiest short-term fix that clubs jump to. But they've gone for Kofeld, who had a rough time at the end of his tenure at Werder Bremen. I think he showed at the start of his, sort of towards the start of his reign at Werder Bremen, how talented a coach he was, managed to steady them to the top half of the league. So would you say that's a sensible appointment?
Yes and no. I think at the moment, who else are you going to go for is a big question part of it, because there were so many names getting floated around that just wouldn't have suited it and just wouldn't have done anything, like Favre, and people were saying about Labbadia coming back. It just sounded a bit silly to be suggesting those kind of coaches who just definitely wouldn't either be interested in the job or actually do anything with this squad. I think what you've got with Kofeld is you've got someone who's still a young manager, and he's only 39. He's only had, I think it's just under 150 games in charge of Bremen. Someone that didn't have great managerial experience before, but he'd given a long time. You know, like you were saying with Van Bommel, didn't have a great experience. But Kofeld was also in the unders for a couple of years, but what's the difference between that and what Van Bommel did, for instance? But yeah, it's just, it's a appointment that I think everyone saw coming. I think I can't remember if I was talking to you, I was on the podcast when we were talking about this, or just talking to George privately about it, but I said Kofeld was kind of the first name that came into my head that probably would have got it, just because he was still kicking about. I think he could have gone anywhere in Germany over the summer, and he kind of hung on. Maybe he's went for the right option for himself, because Wolfsburg for me just doesn't seem like I don't want to be degrading to the club, but it doesn't sound like the most attractive. It's not the most attractive place to go either. Like, you wouldn't be living in Wolfsburg. Because I can vouch for that. I've been there. It's not nice. It's not an attractive place to go. Okay, you're close to Berlin and things like that, but like, I don't know. The whole end being owned by Volkswagen and stuff like that, is that going to appease everyone?
Yeah, I always thought that, like, why would you want to go Wolfsburg above, like, one of the similar traditional clubs? Like, why would Draxler move from Schalke to Wolfsburg? And I think it is just that they tend to offer quite high wages. And for a coach at the moment, like, he's going into a Champions League club.
Yeah,
Leading a club that got relegated last season, then suddenly a few months later, he's coaching the Champions League. So he'll look at that as a step up, even though, we all probably think that Werder Bremen's a more attractive proposition, but he's probably getting a decent wage. And he's got a good squad. I think the problem with Werder Bremen was that he had a good squad when he first took over. The first couple of years had, like, Max Kruse, David Klaas and stuff like that. Then suddenly prominent departures kept occurring, and they never really replaced them. But here he's got a good squad. So they've got good strikers, they've got good defenders, they've got a strong spine, and I think they've got the potential to do well. I mean, they won the top four last season. I wouldn't say the squad's weakened since then. They've lost Brekalo, but they could still do similar things under a steady coach which I think Cofield has proven that he can be in the past, albeit not really recently.
Yeah, I mean, he had an okay record at Bremen. You know, they think they're very, very similar win to loss ratio as well. But like you said, with having good players there, he actually was quite good at bringing out the best, because you can see now with Josh Sargent kind of flopping a wee bit in the Premier League, you can see he brought the best out of him at definitely the start of last season. So if he can bring it, you know, he can do that. And you've also got like Maximilian Eggestein. He grew him very well. He's become a really good player. He's now at Freiburg, which maybe wouldn't be a step up, but obviously now it has been Bundesliga's right Liga, but it wouldn't be a step up league-wise, but club-wise. But he grew him, he grew in Baum, and Baum's looking quite decent this season as well. So it's just, he also had to deal with difficult players, you know, with Rashiska, like not really doing much last season. He's got that experience from a Bremen squad that wasn't like Bremen, because it's really hard. I still find it hard to talk about Bremen and Schalke and Hamburg as clubs that aren't big clubs anymore. No, they're not big clubs anymore, but they're like, they've just been so bad and their players have been not as good as what they have been in the past. It's hard to say, for instance, when I was trying to mention Maximilian Eggestein, Freiburg shouldn't be considered bigger than Bremen, but just now it is, so it's hard to differentiate. But if you get what I mean by that, he's had that experience there. Now he is making a step up in class just now, just because that's the way the leagues are, that's the way the clubs are. So maybe his experience at Bremen, this is the next stepping stone that could lead him on to something to lead him into a better manager as well. So, and he's got the players there to do it, like you said. There's a good spine there, he's got good players in there there's players in there that he doesn't really need to do much with. Like, he's got Castillo's, he's got Arnold, he's got Weghorst. Okay, Brooks is in a bit of a dodgy season, but there's players there that he can rely on. And then he's got, I'd like to see what he does with Baku and Mitchell and other young players, because he's had a good experience with young players in the past as well. So I think it could be a good appointment, but it's football. We'll see what happens. In a couple of weeks' time, he could have lost every game and they're on his back already. We don't know. But it could be a good appointment. It could be a bad appointment. But for me, initial thinking is it's probably the best thing they could have went for.
Yeah, I think definitely compared to some of the names that were coming up, like going back to Labbadia, that would have just been
laughable.
I don't know. I couldn't have seen that happening. I think he has probably the best of the options currently available. I think he's got a good squad there, so would be interesting to see what happens. Wolfsburg at the weekend themselves, so that came after they lost out to Freiburg. And they continued their unbeaten start to the season. Pretty remarkable, as we're heading towards November now. But just in the terms of the rest of the Bundesliga, did any of the matches stick out to you over the weekend?
Well, like I know we said we weren't going to actually talk about that one, but just I've heard a couple of things about Freiburg recently, and I don't know why everyone keeps thinking it's a shock. The last couple of seasons have had really good starts to the season. I don't think it's that much of a shock, do you, that they're up there?
Was it 3 points off Bayern, though? Like that,
they're still unbeaten.
I think it's definitely a shock that after 9 games they're only 3 behind Bayern and they're still unbeaten. I don't think it's a shock anymore that they're in the top like 6 or 7. Yeah,
maybe that's the best way to start think about it. It's not that much of a shock for that.
But I mean, at the moment, like they're like, it's not like I can't see it continuing like this. But it looks like they're in the title race because they're only 3 off Bayern, unbeaten. I mean, if they keep this up, like it's not out with the realms of possibility they could finish 5th or something. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a shock.
Yeah, so it's just, I just wanted to point out, to be honest, I do think that they're well worth their place where they are just now. They've been playing really good football. They've been obviously not losing their games, brilliant. So I'm really impressed with Freiburg this season. Other games, I mean, I don't know if Mainz were just okay or Augsburg were just absolutely shocking on Friday night. Because Mainz weren't like amazing. They were good. They were just normal. Like they were just like normal Mainz of last season with under Bo Svensson. That's a game that they should be going and winning. But Augsburg, there's just so many red flags going on at the moment. It's just mad how bad they've been this season, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. All goals were comical, man. Like, nearly all of them were just so bad and just really disappointing to see. Obviously, Dortmund, before we move on to another game, that they obviously back to winning ways without Haaland there, which is good. Jude Bellingham scored an absolute belter of a goal. It just you run out of superlatives for him. He's just honestly unreal. And living with George for the past month, I don't think he's not mentioned him. And it's like one day he's never not mentioned him. It's mad. But it's been really, really good to see him go well. And then obviously the big game on the Sunday for me was the FC Köln Leverkusen game, because Leverkusen just weren't all there. They are a good side. They should, on paper, they should be beating Köln. And it looked like they were going to, mostly due to defensive mistakes and that unreal counter-attack they've got. But
yeah, I wanted to speak about that. Just like, see that
it's just
Köln could have easily Leverkusen could have easily been out of sight after the first half.
Like, it should have been Ping-pong should have
Leverkusen had the decision making was really poor. They were just trying to be a bit over elaborate at times. See the amount of times that Köln were left exposed at the back. I know that's Baumgart's philosophy, but you'd think with a team that's more clinical, they could have got absolutely hammered in that game. I mean, they'd already been hammered the week before against Hoffenheim. But if Leverkusen had actually taken their chances, it would have been out of sight. More than a two-goal difference at half-time, that's what let Köln back into it, because I don't think they played particularly well. And there has been games this season that they've gone behind in the first half and they've come back, like for and Hertha,
yeah.
And I mean this game as well. But you'd have to think, like, it's almost like they can't keep doing that. You can't keep relying on coming back and then sort of driving forward and coming back using the sort of atmosphere to drive themselves forward. I know that's the Baumgart effect. You have to think more of the. You'd have to fear that more of the Hoffenheim results are liable to happen if they keep having this sort of reckless approach, which we have talked about quite positively, how it sort of brought back an energy, a feel-good factor to the club. But there's no... I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a sort of middle ground between the two things. He's got to learn to have a slightly more conservative approach in certain games, or they're just going to get battered.
Yeah, I know. I totally get what you mean. It's just, I think that's the only thing I can come back from that with is that's a game last season that Köln definitely would have lost 4-5, 6-0, no matter how reckless or poor decision making by Leverkusen were. So that's maybe the positive to take from them for them. Oh yeah, they're playing that way and they've got ingrained. They've clearly got ingrained in their head that way. They're not going to change. I'll be really surprised if they change. So yeah, it's going to be a long season, shall we say, with some games. I think some games they will get hammered in. Just like the Hoffenheim game, where Hoffenheim weren't amazing. They were just kind of ruthless, and Köln just didn't turn up. I think that's something that can similar.
Yeah.
And like,
it's definitely better than
goals as well. So it's not like, it's still kind of, I think Köln played better but they weren't as bad, I don't think, throughout the whole 90. I think there were spells where they were poor and then there were spells where they were starting to do well and Leverkusen were totally drifting off. But it was just a really good game. It was just a really good. Derby. It's not really a derby, but it's a derby. Hard to describe it. Even without the ultras there, still some sort of atmosphere. It wasn't the best atmosphere in the ground, apparently, but still good to see a full Ryan Energy Stadion and a good game from it as well, which you always usually get. So, and for me, that was kind of the biggest selling points that have been this year this weekend. Don't know if you had any other thoughts on other games or you agree.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think it is a good point about the fact that Köln wouldn't have won that, or wouldn't have got a result from last season. I think the approach currently is definitely still preferable to this sort of dull football that you'd seen in the last couple of years. And I think even when they're losing games, because they're being positive and trying to play good football, that creates a bit more patience for Bumgarte when things aren't going well. It's still entertaining. There's still that factor. So it's a positive for them. In terms of the rest of the games, just thinking about what I saw. So covered the Mainz Augsburg. I mean, yeah, Dortmund. Bayern Hoffenheim, I mean, I don't think there's much to say from that. Just another comfortable Bayern win, 4-0. Leipzig struggled against Fürth at first. Fürth took the lead going into half time, but eventually, once Leipzig broke through, the goals kept coming. I mean, it's the sort of game you would expect them to win. I think the games that Leipzig have won at home really have been against the weaker sides. So it's interesting to see going behind at home to maybe stronger sides if they would struggle to come back. So they've done it against Fürth and they've beaten the likes of Hertha, Stuttgart at home. They're still to have tougher opponents, I would say. Hertha and Gladbach on Saturday night was a very, very bad game.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going really to win, to be honest.
Punctuated by fouls and stuff. I think it definitely seemed to suit Hertha in that way. Because so many times it was fouls by Gladbach players, Hertha players would stay in the deck for a while and it managed to eat up a lot of time. Definitely wasn't a classic, but it is a good result for them.
Yeah. Are you worried about Frankfurt?
I don't know. I haven't watched this game.
If you exclude Fürth, they're 3 points off the bottom.
It's almost like it's been masked over. Obviously, the chat's been about Van Bommel and Wolfsburg and how that appointment hasn't worked out. Glasner really hasn't worked out so far, but I think it's been masked by the fact that they beat Bayern and because they're doing reasonably well in the Europa League. Yeah. They beat Olympiacos, obviously. But they just seem to be a totally different side from the leagues that they are in Europe. You'd have to worry about them because, I mean, the squad, when you compare it to 2 or 3 years ago, is completely different. They're still getting some of those players, but they don't have that attack that they had then, which the fans seem to thrive off. I think you'd have to worry about them. I mean, Bochum seemed to be a really good atmosphere and a tough place to go. You still want to go without a promoted side, not lose at the very least. It's a really poor result. They only had one league win so far. That was against Bayern. So you have to be concerned. Yeah, but good for Bochum, though. It does really look like they're making a good fist of things. I think they'll still be involved in the relegation battle, but there's more to be excited about there than Augsburg, for example. I mean, Augsburg just seem to be, the mood doesn't seem too great there, but Bochum don't really have much pressure and the fans are just really enjoying being back in the Bundesliga and they seem to be thriving on that in their home atmosphere. I was going to say, aside from slightly worried about Stuttgart, I think they were pretty shocking against Union on Sunday. They keep grinding these points out, grinding results out without really playing well, which I suppose is sort of a good thing, particularly when the squad is quite depleted, as they've had players out through injuries and COVID. It feels like a lot of the spark from last season's gone. I mean, for this game, they weren't helped by Carrizo's stupid sending off, getting like two yellows in succession.
Right.
That really didn't help. It actually reminded me a lot, I don't know if you even remember it, the game earlier on the season, I think they also got a player sent off away to Frankfurt and didn't play well in that game either, like not too much attacking threat, but they got a late equaliser, managed to get a point. So it's been similar to that. I think Union will be pretty disappointed that they failed to build on their advantage. So, particularly after Carrizo got sent off, they just sort of sat back in the last 10 minutes. I would say it's a game they should have won. Could have gone for a bit more, got a second goal, put the game out of sight, but Stuttgart managed to get the point, which after the performance they have to be happy with, because I don't think they really deserved it.
100%. Horrible game to watch.
It was. I was like quite often when there's three games on Sunday, I'm like, right, I don't want to watch like three games in a row, so I'll pick two of them. Chose not to watch the Bochum Frankfurt, which seemed to be a much better game than Stuttgart one. But I noticed, did you notice how many empty seats there were at Stuttgart? It was weird.
Yeah, the
ultras were back. The ultras were back, but the home sort of support near where the away end is was all like empty. Even the Union fans, I think they only had about, it wasn't that big an away support either. It was only about 600 or something. I'm not sure when it was announced that they could have got like 100% capacity for it. Whether it was maybe, because I know like with Schalke, the first game that they had a big capacity allowed, they still only got about 27,000. But the game against Dresden at the weekend, it was like full basically. So I don't know if it just takes a bit of time, like once people are more aware that it's more available that you can get a ticket for the game.
Maybe people were just put off by the fact we said he was the only top manager in the league, and they just either didn't want to go see, or people did want to go see. Maybe that's what it was. They were all standing at one side to get a better view of him. Maybe that was
just happy that the example that Jones gave of a manager that wasn't at all has now found a job. Florenko felt.
Yeah, I think we called it, to be fair.
It's like small in height, large in brain and coaching ability.
Can he beat it?
That covers Bundesliga. Zweite Liga. Anything stuck out for you? I think I know what you'll probably choose though.
I was really impressed with Kiel. No, I'm joking. It was a nice working day for me when the English player scores the winning goal. So obviously Tommy Lowe's looking like he could be a player now, started in the Pokal last night, which I don't know if I'm going on to all the games, but just to mention that he did start and he's looking well. So it's that was really impressed, like fun for me to do. They played really well. It was a good game. Both teams, don't think Paderborn completely deserved anything from it, potentially the draw. But Hamburg just, it was the way Tavata wanted to play and it worked. It was one of the games that just really worked. And with Tommy Doyle, obviously, I mean, he only played 4 minutes in that game, so it's hard to kind of build him up. But he did look really good every time he's been on. And obviously, we've now seen him from last night. He does look like a baller, to be fair. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, Farid Aladou looks like he's going to be an absolute cracking player, youngster. Don't know if you managed to see some of his things, but he just really confident, really drives forward, has a pinging goal, isn't scared. So that was good to see from the Haswell point of view.
I thought you said Farid El Alagui there.
No. We're not jumping back. We're not jumping back. And it's actually Farid El Alagui, if you remember Derek's video. Derek Ray's
video. El Alagui.
I don't remember that. apart from the Hamburg win, which is really impressive, the other games, I thought Nuremberg on the weekend were exceptional against Heidenheim. I do now feel that they could be a team that could take one of the top three spaces. Well, don't fear, they take it, that's great, whatever. But like, I do think that they could be a team that could sneak into that top three coming out of the season, still unbeaten, obviously. Schalke obviously get a big result against Dresden. But then the other one is you've got to mention is St. Pauli, obviously getting that. St. Pauli obviously getting a really, really good result at home to Hansa, which keeps them as Spitzenreiter and gives them that extra. You know, like everyone knows you don't say St. Pauli's could win the league because you know they'll just fall away if everyone says that. So no one's really saying it. Jackson Irvine, former Scottish football player. He got on the score sheet for the first time with a very strange header that he managed to wriggle his way down to get. So that was interesting to see. That was a really big result for them. And also Regensburg just don't stop. And Bremen are terrible. No.
A lot of the same old English. I don't know if you. Sorry if you mentioned it, but English start losing to Iowa. I thought it was a terrible result for Andre Schubert. Iowa's first win of the season. That puts English start bottom of the league.
Yeah.
They seem to be having a bit of a nightmare back in the second tier.
And do you know who's happy with it? I think there's someone at this linked to this podcast is very happy that English start is not doing well.
Me, George, everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Speaking of George, after that excellent try to league round up, we'll jump into the pokal. George was present last night at 1860.
He's still glowing. As they
defeated Schalke. I believe he's arrived back in Hamburg.
I still smell the geezing from him. You know, I can smell the Bavarian smell from him. He's still got it. He still limbs. He's still got all the limbs going, to be honest. I don't think he's calmed down yet.
So, I mean, to be fair, like, the first game back in at your club, beating Schalke at home in the cup, it's a shock. But I think a lot of people predicted that this could be the tie of the round, in a game that a shock could happen in. And I think George is just gonna give us a pre-recorded roundup of how the night's events went. So take it away.
I believe it was the Proclaimers who once said I would walk 500 miles, and between where I live in Hamburg and the Grünwalder Stadion is approximately 497 miles, and boy would I walk 497 more. And I hope for a home tie in the next round, because last night was something special as we knocked out the five-time DFB Pokal champions Schalke 04, thanks to a fifth-minute goal from Stefan Lex. Wasn't even so that, you know, we just got the goal early on and sat back. We absolutely dominated the game. Schalke went down to 10 men thanks to a horrific challenge from Malik Chow, the youngster. But the scenes after the final whistle were something special. Michael Kölner, Mickey the gaffer, since called it a magical night in Giesing, and I think that's quite appropriate because the atmosphere there was indeed magical, and couldn't have asked for any more. I mean, I can imagine there'll be some sore heads around Munich this morning as they're all rising, because, you know, the celebrations were quite something, and the atmosphere throughout the city was immense. I was lucky enough to have the pleasure to talk to some nice Schalke fans after the game, who were all very complimentary of our club, and I very much returned the compliments, and they were very dignified in their loss, and I sincerely hope that they are successful this season. But enough about Schalke, really. Today, yesterday, this week, this year is all about 68 München, who have successfully got through to the next round of the Pokal. And we will find out who we're playing on the 31st of October, which is this month. And I'm hoping for a big one. I'm not gonna say that I'm hoping for Bayern, but you know, why not? Let's have them. Also, Mark Van Bommel got sacked. That's a surprise, isn't it? Anyway, so we're up. Take care, all. Sorry I can't be on the pod this week, but I was somewhere much better.
There we go. George.
That was lovely, George. Lovely, George.
Thank you, George.
I have no idea what he said. I've not listened to it yet.
I'll listen to it
afterwards. Did he say anything good?
Yeah. I think he, at the end, he apologised. I feel like I laughed at the last bit of it. I think he was like, sorry for not being the pod. I'm sure it's a good one or something like that. I can't remember, it's like something like that. But a good night for the Pokal. A few games going to extra time. Some comfortable wins, which you'd expect. Hoffenheim overcoming Kiel 5-1, Dortmund 2-0 against Ingolstadt. Hertha eventually overcoming Preuss and Munster after they got a player sent off. Hertha winning 3-1. Leipzig not really comfortable against Babelsberg, only 1-0.
Yeah, that was a weird one. They were just like, I managed to watch the conference for the first games as well, and just obviously the Sexton game was kind of the biggest one that came out to, but I'm sure George has mentioned plenty of that. Just they were just really good. Sexton. But Leipzig, yeah, like you mentioned, they're Leipzig Babelsberg. They were just a bit like they kind of didn't stroll the game, but they also didn't play bad, and Babelsberg just kind of gave it their all, and it was just nice to see them not get absolutely pumped, I think, was probably the best thing, which you never really saw last night apart from the Kiel game. But Kiel just, I don't know if you saw the two own goals, but it's probably the worst two own goals I've ever seen in my life, especially they were consecutive own goals. It was shocking. Don't know what's wrong with Vitalia teams and own goals this season, but they're just really bad. Just absolute calamity from Hal Cavall. I don't know what he's doing. Generally don't know what he's doing. Like, so he's just kicked in his net. It's just shocking. So they kind of deserve that. I'm now worried, obviously, saying bad things. Not bad things, but complaining about Kiel players on goals that when Hasval played Kiel the weekend, that could go quite badly. But you know what I mean? It was just, like, bad. I mean, they probably deserved to get absolutely beaten. They just weren't good enough, unfortunately. And, yeah, that was from the early games, basically. And then I don't know if you want some breaking news, but Bayer Leverkusen are out. Karlsruhe beat them 2-1.
Did they lose to Karlsruhe?
They were 1-0 down, and then Frimpong got them back in it, but Choi got them the winner. So they're through. The other three games are going to Verlengerum or extra time, if I'm correct.
Valtov getting a.
Yeah. Well, I think it took a couple of minutes to go. They kicked off late. But the other games are going to extra time, so that'll be good to see what happens there. But from last night's games, any of the games kick off for you? Obviously, you could ask me about HSV Nuremberg, but it was just a very long night for me. I'm still tired from that game. But one thing I would say is really disappointing to see Tim Loudbold's going to be out for the full season. Really horrible injury to have. When you see the leg just go the way it shouldn't be going, it's really horrible to see. Really also horrible to see the FC Nuremberg fans who were whistling at that when he was going off the pitch. Could be a former player all you want, but someone's just literally completely ruptured their ligaments and like completely can't even play football for the next, can't do their job for the next couple. It's really poor from them. But the game was just, it was just really good. It was a good tightly contested game. There wasn't many opportunities, but it was a really good all Zweite Liga match. Jonas David turned out to be the main man, which was really good to see. So got his first goal and then scored the winning penalty. But it was all down to the keepers. The end of the day, keepers had really good saves in that game. So not sure if you had anything to add from the later games or even that game, but add that wee bit in.
I was otherwise occupied last night watching some other football.
But that's a good point.
I didn't see the highlights. Looked some good games. Osnabrück Freiburg looked like a really good tie.
Then it's a shame that Freiburg scored in the last minute extra time to take it through to penalties. But like with the first goal, I don't know what the goalkeeper Kuhn was doing. I don't know what he was doing. He came barging. I don't know if you've seen this, but he just came barging out of his box to like flag, and then the balls came in, and then he's chipped in. Oh, shocking! And then you just wonder what would have happened if that didn't go in. But really, really good last minute goal, and what was a full Bremerbrücke, our new favorite stadium, which was really cool to see. But unfortunately, it went out to Freiburg, and then Mainz going out to Mainz. Beating Bielefeld, to go through. So it looks like there's going to be a couple of
good. A good win goal from Mainz as well, Ingvartsen. Thought that was a good goal from outside the box. I thought, Osnabrück, from what it looked like in the highlights, gave a really good account of themselves. So it was good to see the Dritte Liga sides giving a good advert for the league. I know we always like to talk about it. George likes to talk about it when he's on, but it was good to see them against wasn't about for against a top flight side. I mean, Freiburg unbeaten in the Bundesliga, managing to take them all the way to penalties.
Yeah, exactly. And Preußen Münster didn't exactly give a bad showing either. I think the red card kind of basically changed the game for them. It's disappointing. They got themselves back into it before the red card came. And, you know, you're losing the two late goals in concession, which just was disappointing, which looked like quite a busy night in Münster. And then, obviously, Dortmund, I think it was the only game I've not mentioned yet from last night. They quite easily probably beat. I didn't get to see much of that game because it ran into the Haasval game, obviously. But they obviously just ran out 2-0 winners, Thorgan Hazard getting a double. But I think the tie the round is like still going to be. I mean, to be fair, Mannheim can go and now put out Union Berlin after we record this. But and Karlsruhe beating Leverkusen is also massive. But the Sexig beating Schalke, there's just something. I just felt like there was more riding on that than the Karlsruhe Leverkusen game, for instance, and just it just made them more exciting. So that's definitely got to be a tie the round so far. And just seeing Sascha Mulder's back to being the football god we all know in this podcast he is.
Football got Mulder's just 1860 in general, got to transfer it back in the league form. Like, I'm not sure George would probably be able to tell us when their last league victory was, but I'm not sure that it's come since they beat Darmstadt in the first round of the Pokal. I think that maybe their last two victories have come via that. I might be wrong, but great to see a small club. Great to see the lower league sides doing well. The lower league sides coming giving a good account of themselves against higher tier opposition. That's a better 100%. One. And looks to be some good games on at the moment.
So, but just will we end? I mean, it's quite a short one today, but do you think should we just end on talking about the weekend? Because it's going to be quite a good weekend, Colin. What do you think?
Yes, I'm very excited. First trip to Germany in so long. Seeing two cracking games, hopefully.
I'm actually just looking forward to seeing how tall you are. Like, after all our chat last week, because we don't know. We've never seen you above chest. Like, we've never actually seen you stand up before, so this is going to be fun. We're going to, like,
see if I qualify to be a Bundesliga coach or not.
Are you the right height of a Bundesliga coach? That's what we do.
That's the thing, like none of the listeners know how tall I actually am. Tall, I actually am. Like, I'm an absolute giant, which I'm not. But unless you've actually seen me, you don't know. So you just have
to... Yeah, I was going to say my height now, but I feel like we should just keep a secret now. I think that's just our thing. Like, it's just weird. But like, I just remember the first time I saw Robert, when I met Robert, I went, Jesus Christ, you're tall. It's just weird. And then George is quite small. So I just wonder where you... Well, he's not small, but he's smaller. Just wonder where you go in height wise. So
I'm sure we talked the other week about like what heights we were, and I was the same height as George.
Oh wow! So you're gonna be this is what we talk about in podcasts. We talk about the height of people. We don't talk about football. We just talk about the height of managers and what's acceptable height in life, apparently. But yeah, no, that's not the only thing we're looking forward to, obviously. So we've got action packed weekend of Haasval versus Kiel, which I will not be joining you because I'll be in the complete opposite stand doing work, but I will be joining you before and after for a nice bevy. Maybe not bevying too much before the game, don't want to be drinking before I work, of course, but more later. And then we've got the many trains to Rostock, making that journey through three different Bundeslands to get to Rostock as they play Fortuna Düsseldorf, which could be a really exciting one. Could be a really scary one, considering what their fans have been doing for the past couple of games. So that'll be quite fun to see. But the GFP tour bus is quite well and truly underway again with two more new games. And I'm sure you'll be excited to be back in Germany for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, very excited. Flying out early Saturday. I'm excited for it. Just want it to happen now, get the week over.
Couple of days of, and that's us ready to go. Can't wait till Saturday morning, but we'll see. That'll be a good one. And then hopefully next week we'll have a good roundup of the games and the antics that go on and how tall Colin is.
Yeah, we'll update you on all. But yeah, definitely tune in for the next episode where we'll have can give the account of how the games went and everything else.
A bumper GFP tour episode.
Exactly. Don't miss it. But this week's episode, I hope you equally enjoyed. Bit shorter, just the two of us. Some league roundups, some Pokal roundup as well. We'll be back after our trip to tell you about that. And we'll see you then. Thanks for joining.